This is the Weekly Scramble, a place where we chat about life over a cold one or two. It's time to belly up to the pod with Mike Fratelloni and your host, Chris Reavers.
That's right. It's time for the Weekly Scramble. My name is Chris Reavers. By my side, his name is Mike Fratelloni with Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores. Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Reavers?
I'm good. You caught us in the bit of a post-GL scrum.
Really?
When the show has ended, it's usually the boys log off. The show ends, Rook bails immediately.
Okay, he's got to get something.
And then we do a little bit of BS session, sometimes on the council, sometimes off. And then the boys sign off because John and Kenny are not in the studio. Mm-hmm. And then it's Joe and I basically complaining about the stuff we didn't want to talk about on the show, off the show. And then so you kind of walked into the midst of that foray.
I saw that happen.
Yeah, I apologize for a little bit of that. But in any event, there's so many avenues that I wanted to go down this particular week with you. And I'm going to do what I think is right. And I am going to acquiesce the floor to you.
Really?
To see where, because I have so many different paths I would like to go down. But I'll let you kind of steer for the beginning portion.
I kind of have two hard-hitting topics.
Oh.
Right? You know how we're the lighter side of GL.
Sure.
Right? And we don't really go deep. But I asked if you guys talked about this on your show. And there's two stories. And I just want to get what you would do in this situation. Right. Like, what penalty do you give these people? Because I have my ideas. Okay. So you've recently heard that there's protesters that are clogging up bridges.
That did come up, I believe, during the newscast yesterday, because I know we shut down, is it the Lincoln Expressway or outside
to get O'Hare? Yep. And then the
Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge
in San Francisco.
New York, but they got those people in New York. So what do you think? I'm in favor. Let me state this.
I should make another, the Seattle International Airport today.
Oh, they did that
was
today.
Was also very akin to what took place at O'Hare yesterday.
So I'm
pro-Palestine protesters for those.
Yeah, and I wasn't even going to mention what they were protesting for.
I will.
Because I even if I agreed with them, I don't think they should protest this in this manner.
But I think what they are protesting in favor of does have context to why I would have a certain decision that I would
have.
Okay,
well, let me state that it has no context to me whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
I don't care what they're protesting for.
Sure.
And let me restate that in a very clear manner. Even if I was 100% for what they're protesting, even if I was passionate about it, I don't think they should be able to protest in the middle of the road near an airport.
A group of people protested and shut down the Golden Gate Bridge and said, we think every person in America needs to shop exclusively at family-owned hardware stores. You would still be against them.
I would still be against it. I would.
Okay, got it.
But, okay, so I'm thinking about, you've been to Chicago.
Which would be an odd thing to protest
for.
No, it would
be nice, though. I'd love it. You've been to Chicago.
Yeah,
man. And you're getting back to O'Hare, and you saw the people, like, getting out of their car, grabbing their bags, and just walking to O'Hare, right?
Yep.
Because they had blocked it about a mile from O'Hare. They blocked it. And I have a theory that I'd like to run by you, okay? So I don't want anything to happen to those people that are protesting in the middle of the road. Unless the driver of the car has a ticket for a flight that day. I believe that we should be able to roll over a protester in the middle of the road if you have a valid ticket to fly out from that airport that you're heading to. And I just want to see if you kind of agree. Would you concur with that? Because I don't want him hurt. I want him to protest on the side of the road. But if I had a valid ticket to go to, let's say I was flying from here to Cedar Rapids, and I didn't want to miss my flight to Cedar Rapids, or let's say I was taking a flight to Fargo, just really not important, I think I should be able to roll over a protester that's in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
It's not a theory. It's a theory. I'm still working on it. I just need to get your input.
I think that for those folks that were protesting on the behalf of Palestine, and again, I concur with you, I don't think you have the right, regardless of what you're protesting in favor of, to impede other people's way of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I draw the line. And what really bugged me, and I'm going to get to a larger point of why I feel that way. The fact that in some of the videos that surfaced, you were seeing police officers walking by them doing nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Which I find a big, big problem, or which I have a big, big problem with. And I kind of understand why they're not doing it, because it's they're probably getting their marching orders from higher above, mm-hmm. because this just in, Chicago has massive problems. But what really is starting to just work my everlasting nerve is the entitlement that we have in this country with especially a certain demographic of this country. And it's not even necessarily an age thing. I think it is to a certain extent mm-hmm. because a lot of 20-year-olds, you know, they're not on the grind working a 60-hour work week like the, to pay out. No, their mindset is completely different, where they're looking for the easy path to get the free handout of what's going to lead them to a career working in advocacy work,
sure.
whatever.
Sure.
But that's going to result in, I think, well, we've talked about it in GL. I think a civil war is brewing. And I'll say it because, Mike, for the 15 people that were clogging up, it's I-90, right? Whatever freeway that is, you've got a lot of faith in your fellow man that someone's not having a bad day and going to floor it.
Or that someone doesn't have a valid plane ticket, that they could just be excused because they have a valid plane ticket. They should be able to drive right through you.
But what does that tell you? Yeah. That's how entitled that person sure. is. Oh, no, I get to sit on their no, you don't.
No, you don't.
You are committing an illegal act.
So what do you think the penalty for that should be?
Well, what I do?
Yeah.
Oh, it's jail time. But the problem is, I'm not in charge, and people that are like-minded aren't in charge, because we have people in places that see nothing wrong with what those people were doing.
What I would like to do is develop a class action lawsuit.
Okay.
And what you find out all the protesters, because they will eventually sometimes get arrested, right? You arrest them, and they go and they check into jail and they get right back out. But then everybody who is impeded by the progress that they were trying to make or lost a plane ticket, you sue all them as a class action and the organization that they represent. And you sue them for, like, let's say a nice round number, like $1 billion.
Okay.
And you say, oh, I was going to go see my parents in Florida, but I couldn't make the flight. And then my mom died in that time and I couldn't see her. You do that. So you really get the heartstrings getting pulled, and you win. And then people say, oh, that was horrible, because now I have to file bankruptcy. And the organization that I was representing has to file bankruptcy because we were so rude that we didn't follow the rules of fair and safe and legal protesting. We decided to block the roads. And I find it repugnant that the police didn't walk over there and pick them up off the ground,
right.
drag them to the edge, throw them in trucks and say, you can protest in this park. You can't protest in the middle of the road. I find it, I would have a really hard time, Reavers, not wanting to, and I'm not going to roll over anybody. I understand that I'm not going to do that. But for a fraction of a moment in my head, I'd say, huh.
Well,
if I needed to get to the airport for something serious and they were blocking me, I'd have an incredibly difficult time sitting there.
And think about the ramifications, because you, as the ticket buyer, there's no way you're going to get refunded by the airline.
It could cost you hundreds of dollars.
Because it wasn't their fault that you missed your flight.
Yeah.
It was your fault, technically, mm-hmm. because you couldn't get there. So the ripple effect that would take place after that, and that's, I think, why we're seeing so many areas and avenues of our lives that people are having such short fuses right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because of things just like this.
Sure.
And it's because of all this other stuff that people are just completely fed up and tired with.
Yeah,
I'm right there. I'm so sick of some of the stuff that I'm seeing. That was part of our post show discussion today, where I'm just tired of this crap.
Sure.
I really am. I normally am a pretty easygoing, hey, live and let live kind of a guy, but this other crap just needs to stop. Enough is enough.
It's a social litmus test to see how far we've lost and how far we've gone away from common sense. Common sense says you don't lay in the middle of the highway, right?
Right.
Common sense says also the police come and pick you up and drag you off,
yeah.
right? That's
yep.
what common sense says. So here's another story. Dateline yesterday, Bakersfield, California. Many of you might have seen this.
Yes.
This woman, her last name is Patel, gets up in front of the city council and proceeds to threaten them with death. In fact, she said a few things like, you can stop us from getting you here, but we'll see you at your house. We'll murder you. Right?
Yep.
And she starts to walk out of the room, and one of the council members says, hey, Miss Patel, the bailiff, or the person here, the cop here, is going to want to talk to you real quick.
Yep.
One of the council people said that.
I believe it was a sheriff.
A sheriff. So yep. the sheriff arrested this woman. She worked for her. She lost her job. So this girl, because of the ramifications of her not thinking, right, and threatening to kill people, the Center on Race, Poverty, and Environment said that Patel has been removed from and arrested after being a threat to Bakersfield city council member. So she's been fired from her organization. The organization, I'm going to say it again, it's the Center on Race, Poverty, and Environment. They even said, hey, Patel,
you crossed the line.
You crossed the line. You can't do that. So the litmus test portion is, so she has 18 felonies. She's being charged with 18 felonies of terroristic threats and include terroristic threats and a terroristic threatening of a public officer, a public official, excuse me. What do you think will happen to her? And what I mean by that, the litmus test is, if nothing's happened to her, then we have some real common sense problems.
I think what will happen is, because they are city officials that she decided to go after, I do think that she will have to serve time at some
She'll point. Have to.
She will. Because, and the other thing that I found amusing about all of this is, I would like to say to her directly, Ms. Patel, you are in front of the Bakersfield, California City Council.
Yes.
Do you really think that this isn't the left amongst the left of people that are in positions of power? Do you really think that you're in some ways fighting against the oppressor in this particular case?
Yeah.
You're so out of your element and so out of your league by what you did that you don't realize that you went after the wrong crowd. Because if this was, you know, and I'm just going to say it, if this was a right-leaning city council, I would probably guess that not much would come of it. But because she went into the lion's den in California of leftist politics, she will absolutely be serving time.
And she was, what she was fighting for is to have the council send a declaration that there should be a ceasefire in Palestine.
God.
And because Bakersfield has a lot of control of that, obviously.
They do. Yeah, I think a direct phone line.
She went so far that the pro-Palestinian group United Front Liberation has disavowed her comments. They don't even want her on the side. So I'm really excited to see, Reavers, and we got to follow this. I'll follow it personally.
Please, yes.
To see if she gets a slap on the wrist and they just let her go, then she's learned nothing, right? But if we want to have a civil, ordered society, you can't do that. You can't threaten public officials or anyone where you say, we're going to come and murder you in your home. That's a pure threat, right?
Right.
And I'm hoping that she gets a substantial jail and prison sentence.
She also, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't just one time she appeared before the city council with threats.
Oh, is it?
There was multiple times. Okay. And the only reason I'm thinking that is because there's a video in which it's kind of cut, and you see her in two completely separate outfits, which I guess leads me to believe that she did this more than once.
It's possible. Someone had looked up her Facebook and posted some pictures from when she was in high school, and she was like a track star in her high school, and she was just this sweet person. What happened to her?
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get what, you know, because so many of these kids, you think, well, You wonder about their upbringing and what they were insulated with. But I think that what we're seeing is that the generation of the kids that really weren't occupied with things.
Sure.
And I'm not saying, you know, they weren't involved in sports and stuff, but too many people right now at a certain age have way too much freaking free time right now. Yeah. Where when I was 21 and we were working. I had to pay, you know, I didn't have a president promising to bail me out of my student loans. That didn't happen
years
ago.
You had
ago.
To pay for them, yeah.
So I think that's a big part
of it. Well, you know, with fairness to her, she was working at the Center on Race, Poverty, and Environment,
right,
which now is Cantor,
because
they said, oh, Patel, you've gone too far, right? Mrs. Patel. So those are my stories. Let's keep an eye on those, because I'd really like to see what happens to this girl, to see if she's going to go to jail. She was bawling her eyes out.
Oh, in court, it was hilarious.
And it this is a little into the weeds, but Patel is an Indian name, right?
Okay.
And I'd assume she's probably East Indian. So I don't really get why she is so passionate about the plight of Palestinians, unless maybe she's half Palestinian, half Indian. I don't quite know. Maybe it's just an interesting thing that she would be willing to give up her freedom to fight for that cause in Bakersfield, California. It would be better off if she would have hopped on a plane and flown to Palestine and fought on their behalf. And that would have been a better idea for her.
That's the part I absolutely don't understand, because you know what? Why don't you head over there and do that same thing?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't last 5 seconds with that type of mindset. So I don't understand where this comes from. Yeah. I really, really don't.
You might be right. It's idle hands, idle minds, And again, I'm not even arguing what she was fighting for. That's not, it's right. What she did. The protesters on the bridge, I don't care what they were protesting. It's none of my business. Right. In fact, I don't even want to know what they were protesting for because I want to just be mad at them for sitting on the bridge. Well, those were my two stories right. to start it out. I'm surprised you didn't deal with those on GL.
We did this, what was I going to say? The first one during the news segment, we didn't really discuss it as a main topic in
Got
GL.
It. Yep.
But the young woman, she did not make the list.
She did not make
and
it.
And I think it's more because Joe said, I'm not giving her 5 seconds of airtime.
Oh, that could be, you know what? Maybe I'm giving it, well,
no,
but I'm so against her.
I am too, so I'm glad you brought it up,
okay,
to be
good,
honest.
I was like, that seems like I can still be mad at her.
Before I transition, I do want to mention the Frat Pack 5000 Club once again, because some of the photos that are appearing on the Facebook page.
Isn't it great?
They're so great. There was one from Patrick from up north on Bay Lake. There's one where from Steven who says, and this one I needed your help with because I don't understand. It says, my wife saw all those cute, is it Adirondack chairs? How do you pronounce that word?
Adirondack.
Adirondack chairs
Adirondack,
that Mike sells. So I had to make a set for the house. Probably going to have to make a set for the cabin shortly. This is how you relax on a Monday afternoon after a long weekend. Very, very cool. We have a picture from Larry from a hardware store in freaking Ireland.
Yeah. How cool is that?
That's right? So cool.
And you notice how many frat packers have Corvettes? Like a crazy amount of them have the most beautiful Corvettes.
I don't have
it's kind of neat. So we have like 500 people in that group now. Or what's the number? Does it say how many people are in it?
496 members.
496. I've only invited, Reavers, like 550.
Okay.
Almost everybody's joined. But I can't. You can only invite people one at a time.
Okay.
On Instagram. On Facebook.
Facebook. Okay.
So I promise you I'm a little bit behind. But because I have like 100 messages that I need to get to, I'm going to put up everyone's number on the group so they can get their own numbers because I can't do the numbers anymore. I just can't keep up with it.
Sure.
I think we also hit 2,000 people. I haven't confirmed that yet. It's really, really going good. Did you see the post that I put up this morning?
Let me check because I wanted to mention Paul and his wife checked in from Australia on their 30th anniversary trip.
They were way far out.
Where is your
post? I didn't put it on the Frat Pack group yet.
Oh.
I put it on my Facebook page.
Okay.
But I did Minnesota Live this morning.
Oh.
Hubbard Broadcasting's very own Minnesota Live with Megan and Chris Eggert.
Yep.
And great, great show. But in the green room, like at the backstage, Hubbard Broadcasting has been around for a long time. This just in. It's been around for, what, 100 years?
Yeah, we just celebrated 100 years last summer.
So it's been over 100 years. And in the green room, they have these cinder block walls. And on the cinder block walls are a bunch of people from the 50s, 60s, 70s, stars that came here to be on TV during that time period. Yep. And by the way, when you were on TV, Channel 5, back in the 60s, there was no cable. If you made it to primetime TV, that was huge, right?
Sure.
If you were a guest on one of these shows. Well, I was doing a recording, and there was a gentleman down there, a sound guy, and he said, hey, look at this one. And he showed me the spot that Led Zeppelin signed.
No way.
And I was like, how cool is it? 1971, Led Zeppelin was in that room signing that wall. And I just think it's so fascinating. So I took a picture of that, or not a picture, I did a video of them. And you see Robert Plant's signature. And I'm like, how cool is that?
That's very
that
cool.
Led Zeppelin was here at Hubbard Broadcasting. They must have had a show. And they, in 71, they were big, but maybe not so big that they wouldn't do TV. You know,
right.
I don't know.
That's really
I can't
cool.
figure out what they were there for. But then I went ahead and did a segment about fertilizer, and it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
what was your key
we
advice?
Talked about fertilizer and grass seed and then Milorganite, which is a fertilizer from Milwaukee that's made from poop from Milwaukeeans, right? And they do all of their bagging on Wednesday right after Taco Tuesdays. It's a true story. And Chris knew all about it. He's like, yeah, I know everything about that. Microbes from poop from Milwaukee. I was like, damn, you're an educated man.
Well, let's transition quickly to our friends from Harmony Spirits, the official spirits of the Weekly Scramble. We are so happy to have them back and just in time for the spring and summer drinking season. Yes. Please do us a favor. Continue to go into your local liquor store. Continue to ask for the Harmony brand by name. This is really helping Larry and the entire crew expand their line, and it doesn't matter. You could be a fan of the rum, the gin, the vodka. I'm a huge fan of the bourbon from Harmony Spirits. Their whiskey is phenomenal. But like I said, it's handcrafted spirits made right here in our own backyard in Harmony, Minnesota. And if you happen to be down there for, I don't know, like this last weekend, my God, I can't even imagine how many cars must have rolled in and out of Harmony, Minnesota to visit that tasting room. But you go into that tasting room and they have a really cool menu, a rotating menu, I should say, of handcrafted cocktails that I know they do a great job. The last time I was down there, it's been a while now, but they had this really cool, it was almost like a punch that they made.
I think they call it a Wapatui.
Well, maybe, but it was really cool. And it just so happened that a bachelorette party was stopping by. Their bus stopped. It was purely coincidental that I was there at the exact same time. And I thought, I better leave right now.
Yeah.
Because nothing good will come from me interacting with this bachelorette party. But it was really neat. So they obviously made a stop in. And you should, too, if you happen to be in the area. Walk in there, say hi to Larry and the entire crew, and make sure that you mention that you heard about them on the Weekly Scramble podcast. We would really appreciate it.
Nothing beats bachelorette parties.
Well,
I mean, if you're like sometimes up north, and now it seems like they're doing it all the time.
Oh, is that now a thing? The
you'll
cabin?
Be at Zorba's up in Cross Lake.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, four different bachelorette parties will come in. And it like those girls are on, they are ready to party. They are good to go.
Yeah.
And I have like my daughters with me, so I can't do anything.
You're covering
And my
their
wife
eyes.
Is like looking at me like, what are you looking at? I'm like, they're married, honey. I can't do anything anyways. And she's like, only one of them's getting married. And I said, oh, I didn't even know. No,
good
I'm just
odds.
Kidding. But it is kind of funny. In fact, my wife had a bachelorette party where she went up there, and they have a bus that takes you from bar to bar to bar to bar. And I just think that guy who's driving that bus must have some of the best stories of girls just throwing up all over the place.
Oh, God.
And just being out of control. Because they're just fun.
I could not imagine anything worse than dealing with that.
I think it's so fun.
Okay, so we debuted a new segment last week called Fix It with Fret.
Oh, I love it.
And I actually have a couple of different suggestions for this particular segment, a couple of them via email, and one that's going to tie in with somewhat of an embarrassing moment from yours truly, but you're my guy.
Okay.
You know, you're my hardware store guy. You're the guy I go to for that type of information. And this one technically stems from a off-air conversation on the Garage Logic Town Council, because Mark is a listener of both GL and the Weekly Scramble, and he happens to also be a Garage Logic Town Council member. Because Rookie and I were discussing griddles and grills.
Sure.
On the show, it stemmed from a Grunhoffer's Old Fashioned Meats commercial Joe was doing. So this comes to us from Mark. It says, Reeves, I asked Fred a question about the Blackstone versus the Weber griddle about 2 weeks ago. I have yet to get a response, LOL. I'm guessing that they don't carry Blackstone, so maybe an FYI.
So did he ask me on Facebook?
I'm not sure. I just said, but I responded to Mark. I said, you know what? This is a perfect segue into Fix It with Fret, because I don't even know the difference, but I figured it was worth bringing
up
to you.
Well, let me state something. We do carry Blackstones. We sell the heck out of them.
Okay.
But now Weber's, you can get a griddle that you just put into your standard Weber Genesis or Weber Spirit. So
what
it's
do you
just
mean?
That you take out your cooking grates and put in a griddle. So your Weber...
Shut the front door.
Yeah, they're expensive. They're like a couple $100, right? Okay. Maybe even a little more, depending on what grill you have. But then it turns your Weber into a Blackstone.
Wow.
So you don't have to have two grills. But so... One caveat, right? Mark, okay. If you sent this to me, I've learned something that if you send me a direct messages, my direct messages do not sync on my devices. So if I'm at one device, I see different messages than when I open them up on a different device.
Gotcha.
I'm learning that. So okay. Because to have someone say I didn't respond reverse
is bizarre. That's what I thought.
That's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
I mean, hundreds of responses per week. Right? Hundreds of them.
Okay.
So 100% you can do both. I saw Rookie was, in fact, I saw Rookie was doing these bratwursts and he boiled them.
He put them in the crock pot with beer.
With beer.
To
infuse the beer.
To cook them a little bit.
But to cook them.
Yeah.
But for like hours, he said.
Yeah.
And then he put them on his grill. And I think the people at Grunhoffer's say, do not do that. You're only supposed to grill them. You're not supposed to boil them ever.
Well, when it comes to the cooking process,
Rookie would know.
He's one that I truly don't ever question because he's done it all. But I will say this, because I love my grill, I love my smoker
yep,
that yep, I got
yep,
from you.
Yep.
But I've always wondered, well, with the griddle, The stuff is sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it a game of, well, you got to clean the damn thing for 3 hours when you're done with
it? A little bit, because it's like a flat top grill that you'd have in a restaurant, but you can do bacon and eggs and pancakes and all this other stuff.
Guess where else I can do that? On my stove.
Yeah, but you get all that smell outside.
Oh, true.
2 days in a row, Reavers, I've grilled on my Blackstone. 2 days in a row.
Okay.
You know how many times I used it last year?
How many?
Zero.
Really?
I was so proud. I was so proud because I'm trying to get a little more frugal, right? Because we were going out to eat every single day.
I'm trying to get a little more frugal.
So we made burgers one day and then chicken Caesars, and I made chicken breasts on the grill. Delicious.
Okay.
Probably less than $200 to do it. Because, you know, when we go out to eat, we can go out to a dump and it's $200 for my family of five. I'm going to tell you.
Right.
The way we roll.
Right.
I order water and an appetizer and every one of my kids gets steak and two drinks. And I just don't have the balls to say no
right,
to them.
Right.
But so we did it on the grill. It was so fun. So fun. We did it on the flat top because two different spots. I keep one grill down in one area and another grill in the other area.
Sure.
And I didn't want to go all the way down.
Well, you're multifaceted.
I wanted to do that. So tell him, sorry, I'm going to find this thing and I'm going to be responding to him because 100% I'm going to respond. I am a little bit behind. And then, yes, buy a Blackstone or just get the griddle that goes in your Weber. They're game changing. Game changing.
Because I can, not that I'm speaking for you, but I know that when you were affiliated with the Ace side of things, were exclusively Weber.
We could still sell Blackstone then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew there was something to that, but I wasn't quite sure. But I know you endorse both of them.
Yeah, and Traeger.
Yeah.
Because we sell Traegers.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I had to get a Traeger.
Yeah, and Big Green Eggs. Okay. We got all those.
Okay.
We got everything that people would ever want for grilling.
And
the only thing we don't do is we don't sell the cheap grills. We don't sell, not that Charbroil is a bad grill. We just don't sell them.
Right.
Because the problem is Charbroils are real close to the price of Weber. And when you buy a Weber, it's just like, why would you buy that one when you can buy a Weber? Like the Webers are just the best of the best.
I love my Weber grill.
The best of the best. And we sell mainly Webers.
Yeah. Okay. So I knew that there was something in that, but anyway, sure. I figured.
Well, tell Mark to chillax. I'll get to his thing. And a lot of people are asking me, what do I do for lawn care? It's a lot of emails. That's a lot of text messages.
Well, then give the quick.
Oh, that's what I need. I need to do a video, right?
Oh yeah, let's do that.
I'll put it on a Frat Pack group.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Because we're getting absolutely saturated on a day like today. I'm mad at myself because when I got home from baseball last night, I knew the rain was coming.
Yeah.
And I didn't because I went and got my grass seed.
Sure.
I went and got all that, and I forgot to put it down last night before I went to bed. Because
perfect.
By the time this morning rolled around, and then. Well, I might as well go into this next portion that I was going to. What are the little things that you would put under your sink or under your dishwasher that have that little alarm, that lets you know that, hey, there's water on the floor?
Oh, yeah.
What, is there a name for those things?
No, just a moisture detector, right?
Thank you.
Yeah,
So a couple of weeks ago, I'm in the dead of slumber, right? And I'm a pretty light sleeper. And it has more to do with I'm always paranoid about everything.
Sure.
But I heard the noise. And I sprung out of bed, right? Because I knew,
something's
afoot. So we normally run our dishwasher at night while we're sleeping.
Sure.
And so I heard it go off, and I go down to my kitchen, and I'm not kidding. I had water everywhere.
Really?
So my dishwasher, which was probably 12 years old, I'm going to guess, because I'm guessing it was built or it was installed when the house was built. And so I'm freaking out. And I'm grabbing every towel I can, right? Every kid bath towel, whatever. And I'm just trying to sop everything up because we have hardwood floors.
Oh, and you don't want
in our kitchen. Yeah, and that's the last thing I want to do. So I thank God that thing went off and I heard it in the middle of the night. Otherwise, I would have had a really big project.
Does everybody have one? I don't have one of those under my sink.
Do you have to do whatever it takes to go get one? I can't imagine their expense. I remember.
No, we sell them. Yeah,
I was
going to
say,
I just don't even think, I wouldn't even have thought about it.
Oh, God. And I have one in the bathroom. I have one in underneath the kitchen sink and I have one underneath the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think I bought a 4-pack at your store for $20 or whatever the hell it was. It's a lifesaver. It's seriously, I'm not kidding. So in any event, so I had the guy today, I'll say it cause they were great. I had Warner Stelling come out doing the install and all that stuff. And he looked at the little ring. He said, you used the alarm went off, didn't he? He goes, yeah. I go, how bad would it have been? He goes, oh, you would have had a really rough day that day.
Oh, really?
Well, because with the hardwood floors.
It would have just leaked out, destroyed your floors.
And it would have been sitting there because I think it was around midnight, 1 o'clock.
It would have just ruined
No one would have noticed it from their 5 or 6 hours before anybody got up in the morning. Anyway.
Warner Stallion should advertise on this show.
100%.
They're a great company of great people.
Yeah.
Huh.
I use them all the time.
I'm going to call them.
You should.
That's where I get all my stuff. I won't even contemplate getting it someplace else.
No, in fact, I didn't even have to ask her because we have the one that's right by us in Shakopee. Mm-hmm. I just went there. I didn't even have to ask. She said, I don't care.
Look at the nice things we say about Warner Stallion and they didn't pay for it. Yeah. Just think what we'd say if they did pay for it.
Exactly.
So yeah, it would be really nice to advertise a company. All the companies that advertise with us, I like. Right?
Yeah.
But it's really nice knowing, it would be nice to go handpick. Maybe that's what we should do. We should become so exclusive, Reavers, that we say, you have to be vetted by us.
Yeah, we'll call you.
We'll call you and say, you're allowed.
to be on our show.
Jeff Duffy, you're allowed.
I love that. Yeah, okay. I love that idea a lot.
All right, sounds good.
So that transitions into, I'm going to use this segment for a personal Fix It Frat question.
Yeah.
Okay. Please promise me one thing.
Sure.
Please promise. No, come on. Consider me a dear friend.
You are a dear friend.
Please promise that you will not make fun of me.
Too late. No.
Okay, damn it.
No, thank you.
Because this is something I have never done before. Okay. And
it's nothing sexual.
No, nothing. No, that I would have no embarrassment asking you about at all. Okay. So this is the first time that I have lived in a home that has had a deck.
Okay.
Okay. The previous home I was at, I had the great people at Professional Turf put in a nice brick patio outside the back. We loved it. It was awesome. In fact, it was heartbreaking that we had to let it go. That's how much we loved that outdoor patio. But I've never owned a home with a deck before. Sure. And my neighbor, my next door neighbor Rob, he's awesome. He said, "Dude, you gotta stain that thing. It's getting bad." I said, "What do you mean?"
Yeah.
He said, "No, you." Every year you have to stain this thing, otherwise the wood's going to get bad. And I said, I don't know how to do that.
Do you want to come over and do it? Yeah.
So,
do you have a green treated wood deck? Is that what you have? Okay, so he's scratching it. So what happens, is it cedar deck? Is it gray? Okay, so what you do is you take a power washer and you power wash your deck, but you don't make your power washer the pin. Like, you can put on a power washer that just shoots the water like a pin, because you'll dig right into your wood deck.
Okay.
Right? And then you'll see where you wash. So you get the fan blade, like a fan setting on your power washer.
Okay.
And you start power washing the deck, right? And you see if you're picking up some color and if you're getting some algae off. Is it in the sun or is it in the shade?
It's directly in the sun.
Okay, that's kind of good. So it's probably dried out, so it won't have a bunch of mold and stuff. But power wash your deck, and then go buy some Cabot Stain at Fratelloni's.
Okay.
And you can get semi-transparent
wood
stain.
Wait, I gotta write this
down.
Hold on.
So
the
big thing that you want to do with stain is there's semi-transparent and solid stain.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
You want to buy semi-transparent deck stain because then it stains the wood instead of paints on top of the wood. So then you can do it every other couple of years as it just starts to kind of wear out and look a little dingy.
Is there a brand I should trust?
Cabot.
More? Cabot?
Yeah.
Cabot.
Yeah, that's the only one you want.
So my deck is probably, because again, I don't know, square footage.
About 400 square feet is 1 gallon of Cabot stain.
And one layer is good enough?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. It's stain. You just slop it on. But again, a semi-transparent deck stain goes into the wood, right? It goes into the wood and protects it. A solid color deck stain, that people make this problem all the time, goes on top of the wood, so it starts to peel off. Uh-huh. Right. And in our environment, in our climate, it will peel off in a couple of years. Then you have to sand the thing. So you just want to, you'd rather have it wear down than peel off. So then you can come back with a semi-transparent deck stain. And Reavers, you don't really need to do that. But you're just letting your wood get drier and drier. It's kind of like putting lotion on your wood, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
I said that. That was...
No, I like that actually a lot. Because you know, I've noticed, this is the what? This is the... Thank you for the description.
Yeah.
This is the... We've been in this home now for a little over 2 years. And I've just noticed because the wood, the stain that was on there is really starting to warp and become non-existent anymore.
Yeah, so you're going to power wash it, clean that up. Hopefully that was a semi-transparent deck stain. If it's just, it's not peeling off, it's just dulling down.
No,
right?
It's peeling off.
Oh, it's peeling off. Then you might have to power wash that off. Right?
Before I reapply the new stuff.
Yes, before you reapply. And then that can be a little problematic. Then you might have to put a solid tone deck stain back over it to cover the problems. Send me a pic. That's all I need. Send me a pick of your wood, and I'll be perfectly able
to. Mike, there is nothing that would bring me more joy than sending you a picture of my wood.
Good.
This is going to take me like 6 weeks.
It's going to be all summer project. No, it's not. Honest to God, it should take you a couple of days.
Okay.
It doesn't have to. It's done is better than perfect. Don't let perfect be you just need to get it treated.
Okay. Yeah. I like that philosophy a lot.
Some people say, I have to do it perfect, then it takes them all year. Nope. Just get it done.
Well, and again, I don't want people to hear this and think, what is this idiot? He's on Garage Logic. I get that. I've just never done this before. Yeah. So I know that once I do it once, I'll go,
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Okay.
And then every year you can just touch it up and go. It won't be a problem.
Can I admit something else then? Promised you wouldn't say
anything. Sure, you were going to ask me what a power washer is?
I actually have a really cool... what do you call it? Tank, fill up the tires and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we call that?
Air compressor.
Thank you. I have a really cool air compressor that I got as a gift.
Nice.
From my parents. Well, you get a gift because no one knows what to buy a dopey old white guy. Mm-hmm. So it's always gift cards, let me pick out whatever I want, right? So I got a really cool, Cobalt's a good brand, right?
It is, yeah.
I got a great Cobalt. Air compressor. But I've used it, pump up the kids' tires and do all that kind of stuff. But now I got to just go get a thing so I can clamp on the deal, right? And then I got to hook up the hose and do all that stuff.
Yeah, no, those are two totally different devices. And Cobalt is a generic name for a competitor of mine. So that would be their generic product at one of those big box stores.
Damn it.
Don't worry about it.
But an air
compressor is quite different than a power washer. A power washer runs different things. I'll set you all up. In order for us to not to sound foolish, let's maybe wrap that portion of the segment up.
Got it.
And I will take care of everything you need off of the show.
Okay, sounds good. I didn't mean to embarrass all of us.
That's okay.
There was one thing. One other thing that I desperately wanted to get to because last week you had said on the show, which was a great idea, that we need to come up with, much like Joe calls Jennifer the CP.
The CP.
And Patrick calls Katie the DA, the domestic associate.
Yep.
We needed to come up with names for our significant others, which I thought was a brilliant idea. And thank you to all of the people that gave us your suggestions. I'm going to throw a couple by you. Are you ready?
Okay, yep. See,
or do you want to go with your story first?
I did pick for my wife.
How'd she like that?
She's like, pick, what does that mean? I said, it's like, you're my pick. I said, you're the person in charge. And she's like, whatever. And then she said, you're mine. I have a word that rhymes with pick that I'm going to call you. So I'm her word that rhymes with pick, P-I-C. Hers is a different letter at the beginning. But she thought she didn't really get it. And I said, no, but Joe has this cute thing for his wife.
And he
didn't get it. So what did people come up for Jess?
All right. So this one comes to us from Paul. And I really like this one. Mm. And I think you will too. Suggestion for Jess's name from Paul. The CL. The clubhouse leader.
Ooh.
With her being the only female in charge of you three ding-dongs, meaning me and my two sons of various ages, absolutely love the show. Paul Klein, Frat Packer, number 642.
Oh, nice, Paul.
Paul, I love that one. The clubhouse leader, the CL. And I don't want, but the only thing I thought of is it's too close to the CP.
Yeah, but still it's a totally different nuance meaning.
And context, absolutely. Yeah. I like that one a lot.
And that's good. You're a big baseball person, clubhouse. I really like that.
This one comes to us from Joe. He says, mine is the WD. I refer to my wife as the War Department.
Oh.
Joe, that is awfully ballsy of you.
Yeah, I would not suggest that one for Jess.
I like this one, too. This is from Dave, name for the bride. Hello, Reavers. My daughters and I call my lovely wife the M-O-M, the Manager of Mayhem.
Oh, nice.
You can use that one if you'd like. That comes to us from Dave. I really like that one.
But then if you called your wife Mom, I'd have to put you in it. I hate when men call their wives Mom.
Get out of my head, because that's exactly what I was going to say I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I will say that is if I'm talking to one of my sons and I'll say, go ask
see
mom.
Yeah.
Or go see mom.
Quit
or
bugging me. Go see mom.
I don't know the answer to that. Just go ask your mom.
Yeah.
Or go ask mom.
One of my kids called me daddy once and I said, you can call me dad or Mr. Frataloni, but no daddy.
No daddy.
That's
cannot do that. Yeah. All right. This is from Bert. Hi, Chris. My wife has been, and I didn't pre-read this.
Okay.
But I trust Bert, because Bert's a dedicated listener. So I did not pre-read this, and I think Bert knows me well enough to know that he can trust me. Hi, Chris. My wife has become accustomed to being the blonde reckoning. She prefers Trixie, but that's another story. Per your beloved, I recall she is fond of horses, so I thought the horse trader, as it indicates someone who is clever and adept at things. Hmm. But it has an unfortunate connotation of chicanery, so that's out. Then there is this, Joe, as in Jess, operations expert, J-O-E.
Yeah.
But then again, I work with Joe, so yeah, I don't think I can call her that.
Yeah.
And he says that might be confusing and a little weird. Mm-hmm. So something with resident in it, as she is in the medical field, which I agree
with. Okay, yeah.
R-E-S-O. The resident expert, sports and operations.
Oh, Rose.
I like that.
Resident expert.
Rezo.
Yeah, Rezo. R-E-S-O. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
Or just call her smart and beautiful because you outkick your coverage and just be done with it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bert. You're probably right.
Those are good so far. I'm still in favor of the CL. I think that's clubhouse leader. I think that's still the best, don't you?
I think CL is going to stick.
Yeah.
I do CL, I like clubhouse. Yeah. I mean, obviously, as the golf thing with it too, but clubhouse and baseball
I
love it.
Clubhouse leader. I like that.
So you think the CL is what we're
I think
go
you
with.
Should go with the CL. I'll go with PIC, right? Person
You're
in charge.
You're going to stay with it though, even though she doesn't like it?
Reavers, no, here's what's going to happen.
Oh, God.
No matter what I came with, she's not going to like it.
She's going to complain about it no matter what?
Yeah, and we still have to hit that liner where she can get on here and say, when Mike talks about me on the radio, everything that he says is a lie. Because she hates it when I talk about her.
You do need to come in with that, by the way, that have her come in she to won't record do
it.
The liners.
She won't do it.
Oh, that's right, because you already asked her once.
Yeah, because she wants everybody to know that everything I say about her is a lie.
It's a complete lie.
But she won't come in and record that so I can say, hey, this story has a caveat and play her. This is Mike's wife. Everything he says about me is a lie, which I don't think it is, really. Right. I mean, within reason, I love her to death.
It's your world, Michael.
And I love her to death, and she wants me to die. It's a match
it's
made
a
in
great
heaven.
Relationship.
Right? Couldn't be any better. She'd say, that's not true.
You're going to hear
partially.
About that later. Thank you for the advice, Mr. Fredoloni.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. And again, please keep the suggestions coming because I really do like that aspect of the listener interaction portion of this. And you know what? Fix It with Frat's going to be here to stay, I think, for a while.
Fix It with Frat, Frat Pack, wife's names. All winning things.
Potential sponsors that we're going to pick you don't get to pick
us. Yeah, Warner Stellen, congratulations.
Yeah, you're in the club now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael, thank you, sir.
Reavers, you're the best.
Please do us a favor, rate and review the show wherever you happen to be listening to the Weekly Scramble. It helps other people find the episodes and the show in general, and it really would mean a lot to us, and we would really appreciate it. His name is Mike Fratelloni with Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores. My name is Chris Reavers. We will talk to you again next week. Until then, cheers.